Vinny and Haney. Vinny and Haney. On your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
I just think the experience of it, you know, the experience for these guys of playing in this type of stage, this many people that are going to be here. We're excited to play in front of our home fans. It's going to be a lot of energy in the ballpark. A lot of our guys hadn't played in postseasons, before last year. And
for me, I try to treat it as every start's the same. Spring training, opening day, a start in June, one of the bad ones in August. You know, they're all the same. You know, for me, the way I go prepare, my 5 or 6 day plan is about the same just about every time. A lot of guys would say it's pretty boring, but for me, it's what it takes to get out on the mound and be fully prepared.
Definitely learned on some of the bad experiences that we had there last year in the postseason. Kind of used it to fuel us this year and give us the kick that we need to push through and hopefully make a good run this year.
You heard from Brandon Hyde, you heard from Corbin Burns, and you heard from Gunnar Henderson, and it is here, postseason baseball, Orioles and Royals. You can hear the game, ESPN's coverage, ESPN Radio's coverage at 4 o'clock right here on 105.7 The Fan. That is why we have a jumbled schedule today. I'm sitting in for Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato sitting by my side, Nolan on the other side, and coming up at noon, it'll be Jason, Tim, and Jim Hunter, they're live at Pickles. And then from 2 to 4, it's Bob Haney, it's Mike Bordick, and Ryan Ripken getting you ready for Orioles and Royals. And Vinny, I think we've been waiting for this since last year when they got swept by the Rangers. And this season has been a slog at times, but now postseason baseball back.
Yeah, and everybody's 0-0, Ken. You know, so you got to feel good if you're Orioles, because like you said, for a couple months, Ken, they were not good.
No.
And then they won 5 of 6 at the end. You know, kind of reminds you of when the Ravens went on their little run in the playoffs, you know. So hopefully they get great pitching. Because playoff baseball, to me, Ken, is pitching.
Yeah.
The better pitchers, pitching outduels hitting all day long. You know, so if Burns can be Burns, think they're going to be in pretty good shape. I like the matchup they have with Kansas City. Well, I like that one.
Well, this is why you went and got Corbin Burns, right? To start game one of a playoff series.
Yep. No doubt about it. And, you know, I mean, Ken, he can say what he wants about, you know, I mean, his normal routine, that's cool and everything. Yeah. But when he walks out there, he doesn't know what he's getting ready to walk into.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know what Milwaukee was like. You know, I'm sure that was pretty crazy.
Intense. But yeah. I think he only had a couple starts in Milwaukee when they made the playoffs a few years back. Early in his career, I think he came out of the bullpen.
Yeah, but when he walks into that stadium, when he's on that mound and he strikes somebody out, those 46,000 or whatever it is, that place is going to be nuts, because these people want it so badly. You know, I mean, Norm's never had it.
Yeah.
You know?
I hadn't even been bar mitzvahed yet, the last time. I went to game two in 1983, and at that point, it seemed like the Orioles went to the playoffs every year, and this is before the playoffs expanded, but it was like a birthright. And then they stunk for years after 83 and haven't been back to a World Series since.
Yeah. It was kind of like me with the Twinkies, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the Twins were always,
yeah,
you know, playing good, going to the playoffs, and when I was a little kid, they weren't. And then with Pocket and all that.
Yeah, 87 and 91, they won world championships.
Yep, yep.
It's a great time to be a sports fan in Charm City, because you've got the Orioles in the playoffs starting. The Ravens maybe played the game of the year so far in the NFL, beating the crap out of the Buffalo Bills. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. But you've been looking at the film, and I get the feeling that it was even more impressive when looking at the film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ken, I watched a quarter and a half so far, because the All-22 comes out on Tuesday mornings. And the offensive line, the run block. I think, you know, if you look at the rate, and we were talking about it off air, you were talking about that no preseason games, you know, really caused them problems, because I don't know what you thought, and we talked about it, like after that first game with Kansas City, it looked like two different offenses. It looked like they had an offense for Justice Hill, and they had an offense for Henry. And it was like, okay, what do you, because after that first game, it's like, who are they?
Yeah.
You know, who do they want to be? They don't know who they want to be yet. And then it was a little better and a little better, you know, in the last two games where they've run it 45 and 35 times. I think they kind of finding their identity. And it's not there yet. And Bob asked me yesterday, you know, if they're down 17 in a game, could they come back and win by throwing it? I said, well, right now, probably not. Mm-hmm. But you know what? 5 or 6 weeks from now,
yeah.
Then, you know, when the O-line, because they're starting to gain confidence. And why? Well, because they don't pass block very well right now, but they're run blocking their ass off. And they're playing, they're doing exceptional job. Ronnie Stanley's playing great. Falele's playing a lot better than, you know, in the run stuff. He's
Linderbaum's been awesome.
Yeah, and Rosengarten was fine in that one. And McCary, I thought that, Ken, always that McCary needed to play against Buffalo because Ed Oliver's a real quick guy.
Yeah.
And if you put Cleveland in there, Ed Oliver will be past him before he gets out of his stance. So I thought that was a smart move.
I thought the offense started to figure itself out in the game against Vegas, and they stopped giving the ball to Derrick Henry once they got up 10. And then we saw it more last week in the win against Dallas. And then this week, I think the Derrick Henry thing has finally been figured out.
Yeah, going back to that Vegas game, he would have carried it 6-7 more times if he didn't false start.
Yeah.
Because it was his fault.
Yeah, they would have gotten the first down and then started giving him the ball.
Right, because there was 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And then it's closeout time. Henry. You know, so I think they kind of knew what they wanted to be. I think now they know what they have to be. And I thought Lamar's throwing the ball accurately and stuff. And he doesn't need to throw it a lot. There's going to be games when he's going to have to throw it more. And I think their receivers and stuff, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They got guys that can make plays.
No, any worry about Mark Andrews? He had a drop and then not another target the rest of the game.
He in the first quarter, they were running a run-pass option thing, and it was to Andrews, but he was covered. And that's when Lamar got like 9 yards, you know, up inside. But am I worried about it? No, because they don't need just Mark. I mean, Ken, be totally honest, likely runs better routes.
Yes.
He creates more
separation. He's essentially a wide receiver and like playing
tight. So is Andrews.
Yeah.
Because neither one is, you know, they're
Andrews
perimeter
got a better blocker, yeah.
They're perimeter blockers. They're not online blockers. You know, like Josh Oliver, you know, he was an inline blocker. But they don't have... Well, that's why they bring Cleveland in down on the goal line.
Yeah. Kolar, they'd like him to be more of an.
Ken, I mean, watch, because we did the draft. I mean, watching Kolar at Iowa State, he's a finesse blocker at best.
Yeah.
And he's 6'7", 265, but he doesn't play that big. And he's not a knock you off the ball guy. He's more of a shield guy.
So the Ravens coming off a big win. The Orioles, remember, once again, you can hear ESPN Radio's coverage of the Orioles and the Royals. This series starts today at 4 o'clock. That is after a full day. A lot of Orioles talk, of course. After us at noon, it's Tim Barbalace, Jason Lockenford, Jim Hunter live at Pickles, and then Bob Haney. Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken from 2 to 4 at Pickle. So a monster day. By the way, some news. Vinny Pasquantino, who has been one of the Royals' best hitters, broke his thumb August 29th, has been activated today. So back in the lineup for the Royals.
And that's a big plus for those guys. Oh, Ken, speaking of baseball, I mean, how about that game yesterday?
Their first game was drunk.
First game. Oh.
Yeah.
I was at home watching it, and, you know, when the Mets scored 6, they take the lead, then Atlanta comes back, and then Lindor hits a 2-run homer. That was
awesome.
Fun base. That was really cool.
And then the second game, the Mets are like, you can have it. We're both in. We'll knock Arizona out. That game, it felt like it lasted about 85 minutes because neither team cared at that
point. Well, they were interviewing Lindor and Iglesias after the game, and Lindor's talking about how he's going to party and everything else. You know?
We have a huge Tuesday show. Remember, we're only here until noon. Vinny's got his Dirty Dozen coming up at 10:30. He'll give his Feeble 5 at the end of the show, which is 11:45. We will try to make a trip to the Funhouse as well. Guest-wise, Kevin Ostracher, Locked On Ravens podcast, going to join us at 11. And Ryan Ripken, part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew, is joining us at 11:30. So let's get this thing going, huh, Vinny?
Yeah, let's do it. And you know what? I think we had a first with Harbs where, like, he basically apologized. I said, I screwed up. on the timeout one. Because I was listening to it. I said, yeah, Harbs, I like that.
By the way, did you hear Harbaugh call me out? Do you have, Nolan, do you have the cut Harbaugh on Travis Jones from Sunday night? If you can find that. He called me up.
Yeah,
did he say Ken?
He didn't say my name, but I will tell you, it was me that asked the question. It took me a minute to figure out what he was trying to say there. But when I asked him about Travis Jones, he called me out for my, do you have it, Nolan? Yeah, he couldn't.
Did he recognize you?
Oh, yeah, he knows me. I'm there.
I got one here. We'll see if this is the one.
I agree with that. I think Travis Jones is playing at a dominant level.
Here it goes.
You, obviously, you watch that. You watch. You're a front guy.
I'm a front guy.
And that's where the game is won and lost. Travis Jones is dominating inside.
That's me. I'm a front guy. I've always have been. That was my question, Vinny. I'm a front guy.
Wow. So what do you think he meant by that?
I think he meant trenches. I think he meant guys in the front. Oh. I always have been. Well, you know I'm a big guy, so I guess he just looked at me.
Okay, well, that's not negative.
Yeah. I'm a front guy. I was asking about Travis Jones, who's absolutely dominating.
Oh, because the way I took it...
Front runner?
Yes. That you're a front runner. Yeah. Now you want to talk about Travis Jones.
Yeah, no, he's like, you're a front guy. You know, trenches. Okay. Big on the trenches.
Yeah, then that's cool.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on playoff baseball, on the Ravens. It's Vinny and Haney, Ken Wyman sitting in. We're taking your calls next here on The Fan. Against the Royals, if you're just tuning in, Vinny Pasquantino, active for the Royals. He was one of the league leaders in RBIs when he went down with the fractured thumb. Also, Ravens still relishing their big win over Buffalo. They are on the practice field, Vinny, tomorrow, getting ready for Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Cincinnati game, because the Bengals won, you know, this is a division game now, and this is a big game because I think they can kind of put the Bengals down a little bit. Because like you were talking, Ken, they got a lot of issues in the locker room
big time stuff.
You know, and they don't rush the passer, which is a good thing. They don't play the run very well. Their defense is not very good.
They have no beef inside either. You can run on them. Carolina ran on them.
Yeah, they...
Chuba Hubbard had
over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Bengals are going to try to have to outscore people. You know, and they're going to throw the ball to Chase Higgins and the Harvard kid.
Yeah, Princeton kid. He's awesome. He runs great routes and catches everything. 410-583-1057. Let's start with Tom in Bel Air. Tom, you're on The Fan.
Guys, it's a pleasure to talk with you today. Thanks so much for taking the call. Headed down to the park later on this afternoon.
Nice.
I just went on SeatGeek. You can get two tickets in 364 for $23 a pop,
wow,
including fees. Like, you'll never be able to get playoff tickets this low in this town again. So if you're out there listening, you're crazy not to come up with some excuse and get out of work, school, whatever, make it happen. Whoever's going to be down there, like Vinny said, it's going to be loud. We're going to be making noise today. I want to kind of huge props out to the crowd on Sunday night at the Ravens-Bills game. I was there.
How was the blackout thing? How was the blackout?
It was cool. It was pretty cool.
It was amazing. Dude, Vinny, I'm telling you, like, even like Derrick Henry, these guys that come in from visiting teams must come into our place. Hey, there's something about these night games because I want to kind of point out, because 2 weeks ago, before that, when we played the Raiders, probably the worst crowd I've been around at a Ravens game in 24 plus years. We're not an 80 degree weather football crowd. You know what I mean? Everybody got there. There were a lot of empty seats for an opening day, and I think there needs to be a little bit of a chill in the air for Baltimore fans to really like get ready for football. So I think next year, if we got an opening game like that, we got to psych people up a little bit more. But the crowd, complete opposite. On Sunday night, just off the charts. Like, even on first down, people were making noise. And the excitement, you could see it on the field, even in warm-ups. But as soon as those lights come down, and they got the little LED lights that everybody gets, it's like a little wristwatch that you get when you come into the park. And so, like, late at night when they turn those lights down, there's something that ignites these wristbands and they all light up with purple lights. They can turn white, and they can turn them different colors. And it's, I mean, the Ravens put on a first-class show on these night games. And we deserve to be in prime time. And then for the guys to come out and play the way they did. I mean, it feeds off of each other.
Nah, I appreciate the call. Yeah, it was a very the crowd had a lot of energy Sunday night.
I like the black uniforms.
I do too.
They look fast.
Yeah. Slimming too.
Norm, do you like them?
It's slimming.
Loved them forever. Yeah. And they've been a good luck charm. They usually perform very well.
When do they wear the new goofy helmet? When's that coming? It's like
it's
a purple helmet that they're wearing it 1 week.
They host another primetime game,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, so that's, yeah, they do.
That'll be then, most likely.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of uniforms, I did like what I read yesterday. Finally back to the All-Star
baseball?
Game.
That's so stupid to wear those pajamas in the All-Star game.
Disgusting.
Yeah, what Vinny's referring to is they're going to wear everybody's going to wear their own uniform in the All-Star game from now on. Wear those monstrosities at the Home Run Derby the day before.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever you got to do to sell jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what... You know, yeah. I mean, that's how you I didn't know who was who.
Nah, it's just stupid looking. Let's grab Chase and Glen Burnie. Chase, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking the call from me. So I kind of flew up from Florida just here for the weekend with some family and stuff. I got to go to the game on Sunday. And I'll tell you what, it's got to be like something in the air around this time of year with both sports going and the Ravens finally getting their stuff together. But my question for y'all is, since the Orioles were in this position last year, yeah, they had like the number one seed and they had to wait. Do you like their odds better this year because they're going right into the wild card and not taking that time off and having that year of experience back on?
Here's what Chase, and I appreciate the call. Here's what I like better. What they learned last year for most of these guys that were a part of what happened last year, I think that it's calloused them for this year and they're more prepared. And Vinny, they got Corbin Burns to pitch game one.
Yeah, I like that too, Kent. And I went to, if they would have had the number one seed, Kent, I don't think it would have been bad this year, you know, to rest guys up and do all those types of things. Last year, probably. Because they were so young and new to it, they probably would have been better going right into playing games. So, I Ken, if they win, then they'll say, oh, yeah, it was great that we did it. You know, I mean, when I was in San Fran every year, we always had to buy.
Yeah.
And everybody appreciated having to buy, and you fought to get the buy.
Isn't it funny that, and I think it's the underdog nature of being a Baltimorean. I get it. Like, when the Ravens are the one seed, everybody freaks out, but like, teams fight for that to get that rest that late in the season. As you said, being in San Francisco, you guys wanted that buy every year.
And I'll promise you, the football teams, they want that buy because, I mean, that's a long season and the physicality and stuff. It's needed. And like in baseball, same type thing. If you've got a veteran team, like the Yankees probably relish having that time off right now, you know, to try to get some dudes healthy.
Coming up next on the show, by the way, the Orioles postseason roster has been set. Colin Selby makes it over Matt Bowman. There's your one surprise there. So no Matt Bowman, obviously no Albert Suarez on the roster. We knew that because he pitched on Sunday. Heston Kerstad and Jackson Holliday both on the roster. But coming up next, week four in the books. Vinny's Dirty Dozen is next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Dirty Dozen. Best NFL teams according to our GM, Vinny Serrato.
You're damn right I'm serious. Look, they might not be pretty, but any one of mine is worth 10 of yours.
105.7 The Fan.
It is that time, week four in the books, Vinny's Dirty Dozen. And Vinny, I will give you the floor.
All right, let's recap last week, week four. We had Kansas City 1, Minnesota 2, Buffalo 3, Seattle 4, Pittsburgh 5. Detroit 6, Houston 7, Philly 8, Green Bay 9, New Orleans 10, Tampa 11, and the Jets 12. So a lot of those lost.
Yeah.
So coming in at number 12, 2-2 LA Chargers. They lost to Kansas City 17-10. They are on bye this week. And they need to be on bye because they got both their starting tackles are out. quarterback's banged up. Yeah. Bosa's banged up.
After a quick start, Dobbins hadn't done much the last couple weeks.
I mean, I don't know what you thought, Ken, but watching him run, he looked like he was struggling running.
But he looked better than Gus Edwards, I'll say
that. Yes. Yes. I tell you, like, those guys look old, and Justice Hill looks younger.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Coming in at number 11, 2-2 Green Bay. They lost to the Vikes 31-29. They're at the Rams. And the Packers lead the NFL with 12 takeaways.
They were getting blown out of that game, and Jordan Love led them back and made it a game. You know, Malik
Willis.
Malik Willis is 2-0, and Jordan Love is 0-2.
That game kind of reminded you of the Alabama-Georgia game.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Coming in at 10, 3-1 Pittsburgh. They lost at Indy 27-24. They're hosting Dallas. Steelers are second in the NFL, allowing 3.7 yards per rush. And Dallas can't run the ball anyhow, so they're
going to try.
Yeah.
And Vinny, we were talking about this off the air. No DeMarcus Lawrence, no Micah Parsons for this game. So arguably their two best defensive players in the front seven aren't going to play.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Pittsburgh's going to may run it 50
times.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the quarterback may run it like 15, you know, so he doesn't throw interceptions. Coming in at number 9, first time coming in this year, 3-1 Washington.
Uh-huh.
They won at Arizona 42-14, and they host Cleveland. And Cleveland's struggling.
Man, they stink it. And Jaden Daniels is playing his rear end off. What's he got, 80% completion percentage?
Yeah.
They've punted once the last three games.
I know. Cordell's extremely
happy. Oh, he's got I will tell you, when I saw Cordell Sunday night in the press box, he's got a different little – he's walking a little different. You know, he's got that Commander's kind of pop to him as he's walking around.
The opposite of Q?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, the Redskins have scored on 20 of their last 23
Commanders,
drives.
Man. Commanders, Vinny.
Yeah, I still call them the Redskins.
They're commanding.
Coming in at number 8, 3-1 Tampa. Beat Philly 33-16. They're at Atlanta Thursday night.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's division game. That'll be good. Tampa is one of 6 NFL teams allowing less than 6 yards per pass play.
By the way, what's wrong with Philly?
I think they got locker room issues.
Yeah, I think they got head coach issues.
Yes.
They're like, Sirianni, I remember talking to somebody a year ago. Remember they beat Kansas City and Sirianni's like jutting his chest out and talking smack with fans? And a buddy of mine said that's not a good look. And I said, you know what's funny? When things are going well, you can do that.
But
when they go bad, they're going to go bad really fast. And I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. When you bring in 2 new coordinators every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about it is Sirianni didn't hire the coordinators.
No, he did not. No, he did not.
You know, so really what kind of juice has he got? You know, and I don't know, Vic Fangio, he's a good D coordinator, but they're playing like crap.
All those Georgia guys basically stink, other than the one who was a Kevin Carter's good. The rest of them stink.
Yeah. I don't get it. Coming in at 7, 3-1 Seattle. They lost at Detroit last night, 42-29. They're hosting the Giants. Kenneth Walker, third in the NFC, averaging 5.7 yards per carry. Was he a freak last night?
Dude, that touchdown, he made that jump cut and then was just gone. Like, he hit full speed so fast. He's a stud.
Oh, my gosh.
And their defense is all banged up. Like, they got
missing four starters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was impressed with Seattle last night.
Giants are a nice get-right opponent for them.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Coming in at 6, 3-1 Buffalo. They lost to Baltimore. They're at Houston. Another tough game. Then they got the Jets.
Wow.
Josh Allen, only quarterback with 4 starts and no interceptions.
Should have had 3 Sunday night, though.
Yeah.
Stevens dropped 1, Wiggins dropped 2.
Yeah, but Stevens can't catch.
Well, that's true, but it hit him in the hands, Vinny. Yeah. Like, that's part of the gig.
Coming in at 5, 2-2 Baltimore.
Yeah.
They beat Buffalo 35-10. They're at Cincy. Derrick Henry has more rushing yards than 18 NFL teams. That's funny.
Life comes at you fast, Vinny. After, like, in the first half of week two, we're like, man, what are they doing paying $9 million for a 30-year-old running back? And now, boom, he's leading the league in rushing.
Yeah. And the team is rushing for more yards than a 19.
Yeah. And Justice Hill has turned into a real weapon.
Yeah, and Ken, when Keaton Mitchell comes back, what do they do?
I asked that question yesterday. Let's play a hypothetical game. Keaton Mitchell comes back and he looks like the guy from last year. Not like it takes him time to ramp up and he's no good. If Keaton Mitchell comes back, like sort of like Breece Hall came back last year and looked right.
Yeah.
What the heck do you do? How do you split things up?
Well, that's a nice problem
yes,
to have.
Yes, it is.
Just because Keaton Mitchell, I mean, Ken, when he went down last year, I felt bad. That was like a gut punch.
Yeah,
because
he was electric.
Oh, and he brought something different to the offense. I mean, he has speed on the that nobody on their team has.
No.
And he can run inside, too, because he had strength inside. So if he comes back, I think if he comes back, Ken, kick return.
Yeah.
You know, Hardy can go bye-bye.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a wasted spot.
I'm good with that.
Coming in at 4-3-1 Houston. Beat Jacksonville 24-20. They're hosting Buffalo. And the Texans are the only AFC team with over 1,000 net passing yards.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're a good football team. And
Nico Collins is a stud.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And they're well coached.
Yeah.
Coming in at 3-1 Detroit. Beat Seattle last night, 42-29. And the Lions are on bye. The Lions are fourth in total offense at 397 yards per game. And how about golf last night?
Perfect.
18 for 18?
Yeah, and he caught a touchdown.
Yes. On the Philly special.
He had more catches for more yards and a touchdown than Mark Andrews had Sunday.
And no drops.
And no drops.
Coming in at 2, 4-0 Kansas City. They won at the Chargers 17-10. They're hosting New Orleans on Monday night. Kansas City is fourth in the NFL, allowing 3.84 yards per play. I mean, right now they're kind of winning with defense, and they're all beat up offensively.
Yeah, Rashee Rice probably done for the year. We already knew Hollywood's done for the year. Pacheco's out another at least 4 weeks. Their offense does not look good, but yet they keep finding ways to win football games.
Yeah, I mean, can you make trades in the NFL are harder because of cap ramifications.
Somebody said to me yesterday, look out for Christian Kirk in Jacksonville because that team's going nowhere. Maybe Kansas City goes and gets him.
Yeah, that's a possibility, definite possibility. And I tell you who looked good was Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt did look good.
He looked very good.
He looked good, especially once he started to get going. He was by far their best back.
No doubt. Coming in at number one, the Vikings, 4-0.
Sam Darnold, baby!
I mean, to go win at Green Bay is not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. And they won 31-29. That was another one that they got out to a huge lead. And they are playing the Jets in London.
Yeah.
9:30 Sunday morning.
That's going to be fun because the Jets have all the good vibes, right? Like the Jets, it looks like Rodgers hates Salah. They couldn't move the ball at all Sunday.
Well, Salah says dumb stuff.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, why would you say, you know, they had 5 false start penalties. And I think Simpson had 2 or 3. And then, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, as quick-witted and as smart as he is, you know, Salah says, well, we're going to have to dial that back.
Yeah.
Says, well, why don't you hold people accountable? You know, I thought his answer was awesome.
Yeah.
And then Salah comes back and apologizes. Come on.
How about Sam Darnold, Vinny? Like, this is a guy that was left for dead, left on the scrap heap. Most people thought when they drafted McCarthy that he was going to win the job and they had the veteran. And then McCarthy goes down for the year, and Sam Darnold's playing his rear end off.
And Kent, if what do you think, though, if McCarthy doesn't get hurt? Because he was playing great.
Yeah.
You know, and they were talking about McCarthy being the starter, and you know things happen for a reason. So Sam Darnold, they paid him $10 million too.
Yeah,
so well,
that's backup quarterback money these days. A little better than Tyler Huntley was last night.
I mean, if they kind of keep going as is, Darnold's going to get paid, and he's the only quarterback with over 10 touchdown passes. He has 11. So in summary, Minnesota won, Kansas City, Detroit, Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo, Seattle, Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and the Chargers.
Coming up at 11:45, Vinny gave you the top 12, the bottom 5, the feeble 5, coming up 11:45. But coming up next, a man whose life was to be a bit star-crossed. Pete Rose passed away yesterday at the age of 83. We remember the Hit King next here on The Fan. Leader in hits in Major League Baseball history, but he also banned by Major League Baseball for betting on baseball and betting on his own team while continuing to deny it. So he did not, even though he is the all-time leader in hits, never was allowed to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and when he bet, he didn't bet as a player, did he? What didn't he bet as a manager?
The manager, yes, but he finished with 4,256 hits. Think about that for a minute. 3,000 is the magic number. He had 4,256.
I mean, he was. I mean, I grew up pretty much watching him the whole time, and I mean, you kind of remember him for how hard he played, Bob. All-Star game. You know, it's kind of like...
Well, when he ran over the catcher in the All-Star game, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about, like, All-Star games and that type of stuff, you think about Pete Rose in that one, and you think about Sean Taylor hitting the punter in the other one. You know, those are, like, plays that stand out, but back to Pete Rose. I mean, you had to love Pete. You either loved him or you hated him. You know, if you were playing against him, you probably hated him if you were fan base, because he played so hard. And, you know, he just played like you wanted. He played like he had a passion and loved the game.
Yes. He cared, and he never, as you mentioned, running over the catcher in the All-Star game, in a game that, like, you watch All-Star games now, and everybody, it's like a country club. You know, nobody wants to really break a sweat, and you saw him do that. But he had an interesting life because... You know, when you're the and let's face it, baseball is been documented by the star-crossed nature of some of the players. The all-time leader in home runs, Barry Bonds, is not in the Hall of Fame because of performance-enhancing drugs. One of the greatest pitchers in the history of baseball, Roger Clemens, not in the Hall of Fame. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, on and on. And then there's Pete Rose, who, and if you've been in a Major League Baseball clubhouse, which I have covering teams back in the day, there were huge signs, Major League Baseball signs, that told you, no gambling allowed. And I know there's an irony there with now that all the sports franchises and leagues are in bed with the gambling companies, but it does lend itself, even if he says he didn't change how he managed games when he bet, even if he bet on his whole team. Own team, hypothetically, you could use your pitchers differently because you're trying to win your bet. Yeah. Maybe you bet against them, and you like it changes the way you probably approach the game if you have money on the game.
I agree 100% with that, Ken. And I mean, can you imagine if he was, you know, nowadays with all the gambling and you know, and you do it on your phone and all that other stuff? You know, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's sad that he did it. Just because, like you said, he can't be, you know, he's not in the Hall of Fame and he's got all these records and everything else. But it is what it is. I mean, he did it.
Yeah, yes, he did. And 17-time All-Star, Vinny. Played for 3 World Series winners, was the NL MVP in 73, World Series MVP in 75, holds a major league record for games played, 3,562, and plate appearances, 15,890, and he holds the National League record for the longest hitting streak at 44. Joe DiMaggio, obviously, the major league record at 56, and of course, 4,256 hits.
How many years was he at Cincy? And then
he went Cincy. He went to Philly. I think he was in Montreal for a minute. I'm pulling up his baseball reference page.
Well, Cincy drafted him.
His first year was 63 in Cincy, and so he played 19 years in Cincy, Philly, and for 5, and Montreal for 1.
Damn, he long time.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, he went back to Cincy as a player manager.
Right.
So, and that's where he got his when he broke Cobb's record. So, gone at 83, Pete
Rose.
What
did he die of, Ken?
You know what's interesting? I don't know, but he was at I saw pictures. He was at an autograph show the day before. He died at home in Vegas and was at an autograph show. There are pictures of him with some other guys from the Big Red Machine the day before at an autograph show.
Oh, so it wasn't
unexpected. Yeah. But when you're 83 years old, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Unlike Mutombo, who was 58,
brain cancer. Yeah, very sad. So yeah, he passed away yesterday. The NBA's first world ambassador, guy who built hospitals in Africa, did a lot with his celebrity to help people.
Yeah, and he wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah, spoke a bunch of the languages, went to Georgetown. Yeah. Was one of those Georgetown teams with Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we get back to the Ravens. Remember, if you're just tuning in, weird lineup today and tomorrow, possibly Thursday, me and Vinny till noon, then Jason, Tim, and Jim Hunter live at Pickles noon to 2, Bob Haney, Mike Bordick, and Ryan Ripken 2 to 4 leading you into ESPN Radio's coverage of Orioles and Royals at 4 o'clock. But we're going to talk Ravens next. Kevin Ostracker, he covers the Ravens. Locked on Ravens podcast, he joins us next.